Hi, welcome to Together Equal Diversity Made Simple, hosted by me, Sarah Eyre-Mash.
And me, Andrew Milne.
We'll be talking to guests about their diversity journey and asking them to share one simple tip towards making the workplace more diverse, equal and inclusive. Today, I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Nicole Curtin, account manager at Ambitious About Autism. Nicole has over 10 years working with children and young people across all sectors with organisations. Her mission is to inspire and encourage change to develop a more inclusive and accessible society. Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Nicole, you've been working hard to inspire and encourage change to develop a more inclusive and accessible society. Could you tell us a bit more about yourself and some of the things you do?
Sure. So currently, as you mentioned, I'm working as an account manager at Ambitious About Autism. So that means that I'm working directly with employers on our Employee Autism program. And that's to support them in making changes to their processes so that they can take on paid autistic interns. But prior to that, I have around 15 years experience working with disabled young people, a lot of whom were autistic. In direct service delivery of different capacities across all sectors. So really it's trying to take that experience from learning from the young people and then feeding that back into employers now.
Great. So Nicole, you've obviously had, you know, quite a lot of experience over the years. So what would you say that inclusivity means to you?
I think that it's a lot about value and respect. I think that inclusivity is as much a feeling as it is an action. And you can have an incredibly diverse group of people and some of them won't feel included. And then that's kind of all tied up with equity and access. And all of those things need to come together for true inclusivity to happen.
Nice answer. Nicole, in this podcast, we're talking about the simple tip you have to getting one step closer to inclusivity in the workplace. What is yours that anyone could try?
I think that my kind of one simple tip is more of a life tip than necessarily a workplace tip, which is that is for people to not rely on preconceived ideas and judgment that they might have about others. So one of the young people that I'm working with recently said to me that it's actually more difficult for them if their manager has met one autistic person than if they've met no autistic people, because it means that they're coming to that meeting with a preconceived idea of what they think autism looks like. And, you know, I really respect them having that opinion because I think it can be very true. And so, you know, it's important that we kind of don't rely on those stereotypes and that always we present each new person with an open mind. But specifically, I guess, in the workplace, I think it all starts with recruitment. Often that is the first time that someone is going to be meeting your company. And so by creating, you know, accessible job descriptions and interview processes, you will be able to include a whole group of people that you otherwise wouldn't have met.
Okay, and do you have any tips for the recruiters when they do need to create these job descriptions and job adverts that make them more accessible for the autistic community?
Yeah, I think that people don't sense check their job descriptions enough. There's often a lot of really ambiguous language in them, a lot of jargon, acronyms, you know, and there's been plenty of times that I have read a job description back to an employer and asked them specific questions about it that they actually can't answer because they've done a copy and paste. It's just the way they've always written job descriptions. And actually no one's been challenging that way of doing things. And so just putting things into plain English is a really great place to start. Your job description doesn't need to be 4 pages long. It needs to have key information about what is required for the role and what the workplace is going to be like for anyone that comes to work there. You know, often there's a lot of essential and desirable criteria on job descriptions. Well, if a criteria is desirable and it's not essential, then why does it really need to be stated? It's either needed or it isn't. And so that's something that we really try to avoid with job descriptions. And then as soon as you can get that part right, then you're already welcoming people in. You're opening the door for them so that they can actually apply. So then it's the application process. You've got to make that straightforward also. If you're making people repeat themselves all the time, answer really complicated questions, jump through a lot of hoops, that's also creating another barrier. So it's, again, only focusing in on what is truly important for your employees that you are going to take on. If you're asking them questions about stuff that they're not even going to be doing, then that's really just a waste of everybody's time. If essentially someone's going to be at a computer dealing primarily with data, communicating with their colleagues, mostly on Teams, then why do they need to be an incredibly extroverted, sociable team player? That's not necessarily a requirement of the role, but it often just gets put on every role anyway. And then it's the interviews themselves. We always really try to encourage employers to go for a job trial as part of the interview process. So to give the candidate an opportunity to deliver an example of the work that will make up their day-to-day job. So they're actually being assessed on the work they will be doing, as opposed to how effectively they can show up to an interview and wow someone. Because I think everyone has experience of having someone interview really well and then actually not be quite so competent in the job and vice versa. So again, it's just really about making that whole process more accessible.
And do you have any company, and obviously you can't name the companies you have, but do you have or have you had companies where you've said, look, this is not actually a good process, and given them the feedback and they've then gone, all right, cool, let's change things around, and, you know, made positive changes to become more accessible?
Yeah, I think that every company that we work with, even the ones that are doing a really good job, have something that can be changed or adapted. And particularly for those real larger corporate enterprises, there's a lot of those processes that are just kind of stuck in the old ways of doing things. And always it makes our job so much easier if the people that we're working with can be really open about making changes and recognizing where there's things that aren't working in their own company. One big organization that we've been working with recently, we're just a great example of taking the work that we're doing and running with it and taking it somewhere that even we couldn't have expected it to go. So we actually placed 5 interns with them. Really fortunately, 4 out of 5 of those interns have now stayed on with contract extensions or permanent positions, which is always fantastic. And they ended up creating a peer group for the interns that they had welcomed into their team. They already had a good disability network within the company, but they were able to excel particularly with neurodiversity, and created an induction brochure, which I think they will be able to use with all of their staff, not just those people that are coming into the company with a neurodivergent condition. And it is a fully interactive online brochure that you can zoom into every part of the office environment and it will tell you about it. They had examples of what different people in the company, where to work, all of the different types of people that you might meet when you come into the office, what you can expect from the company. It was all led by the company values, and it is the best piece of work that I have ever seen a company produce as a result of working with them.
That sounds amazing. Is that the kind of thing that you're able to share with businesses that you work with so that they've got a real kind of benchmark for best practice?
Yeah, so we will always kind of, yeah, share the positive experiences that we've had with other companies. We want to see others leading the way and for that learning to exist across sectors so that we ultimately don't have to exist. We want to do ourselves out of the job, because actually it's already happening. Everyone's able to do all of the work and help each other out.
So what are the goals for Ambitious About Autism, apart from to make yourself redundant?
I think, unfortunately, we're quite a long way off making ourselves redundant, because it is only 29% of autistic people are in any kind of paid employment. So it's about offering everyone the opportunity to have a valuable career, whatever that might look like. I think it's really easy to underestimate the value that comes from contributing to society and feeling like a valued and participating member of society. And so it's making sure that everyone can feel like that, even if they have an intellectual disability or they are non-speaking, you know, really expanding to create all of those points of access for all young people, as well as campaigning for change in education. We're opening schools all the time and really creating more awareness around diagnosis, because it's still incredibly underdiagnosed and underrepresented in particular groups.
And I know from previous experience that there's quite an appetite to support the autistic community, but there's some hesitance. People think maybe the team that they're in, the work is too confidential or they don't have the bandwidth. What would you say to those people?
I think where there's a will, there's a way. If you are motivated enough to make real change and have true inclusivity within your company, there's always a way to do it. We've worked with, you know, companies that have a very high level of security in the past. And yes, it takes a bit more work and some extra steps, but we're always able to find a way through it. The people that we are creating opportunities for are just other human beings who have some additional support needs. It's not like we're bringing in a whole group of people from a different planet. There's no reason why we can't go through some of those same processes. They just need to be adapted.
Brilliant. And how do you measure success from the employment side of the work that you do?
So I think there's, you know, the obvious kind of quantitative measures, you know, how many people are we getting into jobs, how many, you know, whether that percentage of employment is going in the right direction. But I don't think that that often tells you much of the story. And so for me, success is best measured by seeing and hearing the journeys of autistic young people that have been given jobs, and hearing from someone that has been given their first step on the career ladder after searching for opportunities for months or years. And again, it's that feeling that comes from participating in society the way that everybody else is. And it's something that I heard from a young person that was placed with us fairly recently, was that they'd been searching for jobs for about 7 months. They hadn't even been getting interviews. And so they were just delighted that they even got an interview for the job. And then they're now going on to another placement, which is going to be a 2-year long apprenticeship, which is going to get them into the career that they've always wanted to do. And so it's really about building that self-esteem. And that's what I think is what really makes it successful. Is now that young person feels like they can do anything. They're seeing a whole career path in front of them, whereas before there was nothing.
Brilliant. And how do employers and candidates sign up with you?
They can come to our website, ambitiousaboutautism.org.uk, and they can find out about our employment programs on there. We have various different offerings at different levels, depending on how people want to get involved. And that can be from training and consultancy, offering one day's work experience for learners from our education settings, or, you know, creating an internship with us as part of Employer Autism. And then they will most likely get in touch with me and I will be able to start them on that journey. We also have webinars regularly that talk about our programs.
Cool. So that sounds all good. So hopefully people will be reaching out to you, Nicole. And now, finally, what are you most proud of achieving in your diversity and inclusion journey?
I think specifically in this role, it's not just every successful placement, but every role that gets advertised, every company that approaches us, it means that there's going to be an opportunity and a door that is opening. But certainly if I'm thinking about a specific moment that made me feel particularly proud, it was a young person that we had completed a placement and then had been offered a permanent position off the back of it. They spoke at an event that we held recently, and it was the first time that they had publicly disclosed their neurodivergent diagnoses, which was a really massive step for them and their confidence. And I think that ultimately that is the goal for inclusion, which is for someone to feel safe and to trust the people around them, to embrace them, not just in spite of, but because of their differences. And it means that they can feel proud of who they are.
That's absolutely amazing. It's a great story. Thank you for sharing. Nicole, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in, and look out for our next episode of Together Equal, Diversity Made Simple.